Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 15 through 21 this morning of Galatians chapter 2 as we continue looking at our series on Galatians that we've titled Free in Christ. And I love that last song that we sang because it points out the fact that we truly are free in Christ. We are His children. We are His sons. We are His daughters. He loves us immensely. He has made us His children. We are free in Christ. We are free to be loved by Him. We are free to not be held by guilt and legalism and doubt and shame and fear and our former lives. We have been given new life in Christ, and we are truly free. And we are also free to love one another, free to come together as a body of Christ, to worship together, to learn from each other, to grow in the faith together. We are free to experience this life together. It's a great gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ to believe in what we call the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the good news that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again and that He's coming again one day to rescue us from this earth. This is the gospel. This is what we believe as Christians, and this is what we put our trust in. And the book of Galatians, it's quite possibly one of Paul's earliest letters. It conveys this truth that the gospel is the very foundation of the life that we have in Jesus. And what we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks, beginning in the middle of chapter 1, going through the end of chapter 2, is how Paul is telling his own story of how he interacted with the gospel. He talks about how the gospel of Jesus Christ made him a believer. He came to believe the truth of Jesus for himself. He talked about how the gospel helped him bring different groups of Christians together and sit down and work together as one body of Christ. And then last week we talked about how sometimes we all need to be confronted by the truth of the gospel. We don't always live out the freedom of Christ that we have. Sometimes we fall back in the old habits. Sometimes we don't treat people with the love that we should treat them. And so we need to be confronted over and over again by the truth of the gospel message. And always remember the fact that we are free in Him. Now, Paul today, in verses 15 through 21 of chapter 2, Paul is going to finish kind of telling his story of the gospel. And he's going to talk about how all of us can have the same experience of Christ that he had. Now, that's pretty remarkable because when we look through the New Testament, we read about the Apostle Paul and we look at his life, man, he is a really towering figure. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get intimidated when I read about the Apostle Paul. Man, he was somebody who some people have called the most converted human in all of history. He was somebody who was so committed to legalism and so committed to his own ideas. And then when he met Christ, he was completely transformed and completely made new. And yet the truth is, all of us experience the same Jesus that Paul himself experienced. All of us are saved by the same Lord. All of us are given the same Holy Spirit. And all of us can be used by God to do great and mighty things. Now, we're not going to be Apostle Paul's. He played a very unique role in the early church. And yet, we all are loved by the same exact Jesus that loved him. And that Jesus can come into our lives and change us from the inside out. And so in today's message, verses 15 through 21, Paul is going to get very personal, and he's going to show that all of us can have that same personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ that he had. But before we look at these verses, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to guide us into his word. Father, we thank you so much that we are free in Christ. We thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that some 2,000 years ago, we can still sit and read and study this letter to the Galatians. And we thank you that in this difficult time that Paul was dealing with when he wrote this letter, that he clearly wrote about the truth of the gospel. And so, Father, help us to remember that no matter what we're going through as individuals or going through as a church or going through as a family, whatever it is, that we can always look to the truth of the gospel to give us hope. That the gospel can set us free, that the message of Jesus can make us new, that he can challenge us and strengthen us and forgive us and convict us and give us whatever we need to keep glorifying you. And so I pray this morning, Father, that as we are reading through verses 15 through 21 of Galatians 2, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to see the truth of your word, that you would help us to realize that all of us can have a personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, just like Paul had. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for the good news of Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, of course, last week in verses 11 through 14 of Galatians chapter 2, we saw that Paul had a confrontation with another Christian by the name of Peter. And Peter was a very important leader in the early church. But Peter, just like a lot of us, got off track, and he kind of quit living in the freedom that Christ gave him. And so Paul corrected him. Paul stood up to him and said, listen, you've got to live in line with the truth of the gospel. And Paul was very, very passionate as he talked to Peter. Now, the reason I mention this is because Paul is coming off the heels of that confrontation with Peter. And some people actually believe that the verses we're going to be reading today are Paul's continuing conversation with Peter. Paul may have been talking with Peter all the way through verse 21. He may have stopped talking with Peter in verse 14. The way that Paul writes this in Greek, it's actually very hard to tell who exactly he's talking to. Is he talking to Peter? Is he talking to the churches at Galatia? But the point is this, whoever he is talking to, whether it's the churches at Galatia or Peter himself, he is presenting to all of us truth of the gospel that all of us need to hear. And so that's the most important thing as we're looking at this passage. He's going to present the truth of the gospel that really becomes the theme of Galatians because it was the theme of Paul's life. And Paul is going to use some terms in this passage that become very important for him in other books and very important to our understanding of the Christian faith. So we're going to talk about a lot of those terms today. First of all, in verses 15 and 16, Paul says this, we are justified by faith in Christ. This is the first lesson he wants to give us this morning. Verses 15 and 16, we are justified by faith in Christ. So let's go ahead and look at verses 15 and 16. Paul says, we who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. And by the way, if Paul could do air quotations there, that's probably what he would be doing, because he's using the language of his day to kind of say, you guys think the Gentiles are really sinful, but we Jews are sinful as well. So yeah, we're Jews, not sinful Gentiles, but we know this. He goes on and says, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. What is Paul talking about here? Let's first of all talk about this term justified. Paul says you can't be justified by works of the law. You must be justified by faith in Christ. Let's remember who Paul is writing to in this letter. He is writing to a group of Christians who came to faith in Christ. They believed they were free in Christ. They believed that they were forgiven of their sins. But somewhere along the way, they got tripped up into thinking, you know what? Yeah, I was saved by grace, but I think now I need to earn God's love. I think I need to work for it. I think I need to follow all the Old Testament laws, and I think I need to be the very best person I can possibly be so I can earn God's love. And Paul says, that's not how things work. I'm a Jew, and I know that it doesn't work that way because I used to live my life following the law. I used to seek that type of justification. I used to try to be made right with God by following the rules and being a good person, and it doesn't work. I came to another conclusion. And so he uses this word justified to talk about that new reasoning that he has come to. So what does it mean to be justified? That's good Christian language that we talk about a lot, but what exactly does it mean? First of all, to be justified means that we are declared righteous. That when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God looks at us and says, you are righteous. And let's think about that for a minute. That's remarkable. You know why that's remarkable? Because I know myself. I know my thoughts. I know my intentions. I know the depth of my sin. I know the evil that resides within. And yet, when we are saved by Jesus Christ, God looks at us and says, you are righteous. It's a courtroom scene. It's like a judge looking at somebody who is guilty, and he declares them righteous. That's remarkable. But here's what I love about God's word. God doesn't just say we are righteous. His words have meaning and power. There are times where I tell my kids to go take a bath, all right? I'm assuming y'all probably do that as well, all right? It's a good thing to do. And my kids will go into the bathroom, and they'll get wet, and they'll come back out, but they smell exactly the same. That ever happened to you? All right? And so I will ask them, did you bathe? And they will say, yes, I am clean. And I will smell them and go, your odor says otherwise. You have declared that you are clean, but you are not clean. I am so thankful that God's word is more powerful than my kids' words. I'm so thankful that when God declares us righteous, he actually does something with that declaration. So justified means to be declared righteous, but it also means to be made righteous. God, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he transfers us from the realm of unrighteousness and puts us in line with his own people. We are actually made new. We become the righteousness of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21. This means we are now part of God's people. We have a new family. We are made right with God, put in a right relationship with him. All of that is bound up in this word when Paul says that we are justified. You see, we can't be made right with God by our own effort. We can't be made right with God by works of the law and doing our own thing. What we need is faith in Christ. And that's the next phrase that I want to focus on for just a moment. The only way to be justified is by putting our faith in Christ. And by the way, if you want to read a little bit more about this, Paul spends a lot of time in Romans chapters 1 through 4 talking about justification by faith in Christ. In fact, some people think that Galatians was kind of his first draft of this idea, and then years later he expounded upon it in Romans chapters 1 through 4. But he says that the only way to be justified is by faith in Christ. Now, what exactly does that mean? There's a couple of different possibilities. One, it could mean we are justified because of the faithfulness of Christ. Christ was faithful to follow his Lord. Christ was faithful to die on the cross. Christ was faithful to rise from the grave. He will be faithful to come again. Because Christ is faithful, we can put our faith in him. Now, there's a lot of things in this world that promise faithfulness, don't they? They really do. Sometimes people promise to be faithful and they aren't. Sometimes advertisements promise, if you just buy my product, you'll be fulfilled, and then you aren't. There's a lot of things in this world that promise to be faithful, but they aren't. Christ is always faithful. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He is coming again. And because he is faithful, we can put our trust in him. We can put our faith in him. And we can be certain that we will be justified and made right with God. So I want you to know this morning that if you're here and you think you're good enough and you think you can earn God's love and you think that that's the way to become a Christian, you got it totally wrong. I've been down that path. I've tried that path before. I have tried to be good enough, act good enough, pray enough, read the Bible, and to do all this stuff that was good enough, but all you need to do is say, Jesus, you are more than enough. And I put my faith in what you have done. I put my faith in the cross. I put my faith in your resurrection. Please justify me. And the Bible says when you put your faith in Christ, you are made right with God. You are loved by him and experience the love that he gives. And when justification happens, when we put our faith in Christ, something happens to us. We can no longer turn back to our old life. And this is what Paul says in verses 17 through 19. Paul says, but if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves, my Bible says, also among the sinners. It should probably be translated if we find ourselves to be sinners. Doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I die to the law so that I might live for God. Then skip down to verse 21. Paul says, I do not set aside the grace of Christ, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Essentially, in these verses, Paul is saying, because I have been justified, because I put my faith in Christ, there is no going back to my former life. I'm so happy that we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's just a great song. In fact, I was telling my kids as we were singing that, that was the first song I ever sang in church. I was 4 years old, and I got up in church, and I sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they said, do you want us to play with you? I said, no, I want to do this a cappella. I didn't know if 4 year old could know the term a cappella, but I sang that a cappella in church, and I think that that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have been justified by him. I have put my faith in him. There is no going back. an accusation that was often made of Paul was this: hey, if you set aside the law and just believe in grace and believe in following Jesus, aren't you going to be more of a sinner than you were before? Don't we need rules? Don't we need regulations? Don't we need the law? And Paul said, no, that's not the case. Christ is not a servant of sin. The true sin would be to rebuild that legalism and to go back to my old life. I have died to the law. I have died to that way of living. I have died to that way of thinking. I will not set aside the grace of God, because that's what changes me from the inside out. That's what gives me new life. And I will not go back, because I have decided to follow Jesus. And what a message that we need today. Because how often are we tempted? I know one of my greatest temptations is to go back to legalism, thinking that I need to earn God's love, thinking that I need to be good enough, thinking that I've got to follow all the rules or God's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt. And Paul says, because we have been justified, because of who Christ is, we don't have to go back to legalism. We don't have to try to earn the love of God. Now, many of us struggle with the opposite issue. Some of us struggle with following our own selfish desires or finding fulfillment in our own passions and our own desires. And Paul says, don't go back to that either. That's a dead path as well. Don't go back to legalism. Don't go back to hedonism. Follow Jesus Christ. No going back. Now, why can't we go back? Why is justification so important in the Christian life? You may have noticed I skipped verse 20. And the reason that I skipped verse 20 is because I really wanted to end with it, because I think it's the central verse in the book of Galatians. Paul says in verse 20 that Jesus changes everything. He changes our lives. He changes our priorities. He changes the world we live in. That's why we can't go back. So look at verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How exactly does Jesus change everything? First of all, when we put our faith in Christ, we die with Christ. We experience the death of Christ. Paul says here that I have been crucified with Christ. And this is kind of mystical, and it's a little bit hard to understand, but somehow 2,000 years ago, when Christ died on that cross for my sins and yours, we died with him. And if we put our faith in him, we are dead to our old way of living. I love how this is translated in the Greek. In the Greek it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I continue to be crucified with Christ. We continually died our old life. We continually look at things from a different angle. Because Jesus died, we don't go back to the former way of living. We live in this new existence where we are continually crucified with Christ. But not only have we been crucified with Christ, not only have we died to our old way of living, Christ calls us to a new lifestyle. Christ calls us to something different, a new experience. And so Paul continues in verse 20 by saying, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So not only have we experienced the death of Christ, we also experience his resurrection. We have been given a new existence, a new start, new priorities, a new purpose, new intention. We have been made new creations. We have been raised with Christ. This is why we can't go back. This is why we can't do things like we used to. This is why Jesus changes everything, because we have experienced the resurrection of Christ. And you know what empowers all of this? Why did Christ die for us? Why did Christ rise from the dead? It's because we also experience the love of Christ. Christ loves me. He loves you. And he will never stop. Look at the end of verse 20. He says this, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you notice that those are in the past tense? We were loved, that Jesus gave. The reason they're written in the past tense is because Paul is saying there was a specific moment in history where God demonstrated his love. There was a time in the past where Jesus demonstrated his love for me and his love for you. When was that time? The cross. The cross is the perfect example of love. It is the place in history where we can look back to and say, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't know what's coming back, I can look back to that point in somewhere around 30 or 33 AD, and I can know that because Jesus Christ died on a cross and gave himself, I am loved. That's the gospel, guys. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, that we have been justified by faith in Christ, that we can no longer go back to the life as it once was because Jesus has come and he has changed everything. And here's what I love about the gospel. It's not just a historical fact that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. It's something you and I can experience for ourselves. By putting our faith in Christ, the gospel becomes our story. We can believe that good news and share the good news with others. So knowing Jesus makes it impossible to go back to legalism, to go back to our old way of doing things. We are free to live for Jesus. We are free to be loved by Jesus. We are free for him to live his life in us and through us. We are free to be the people that God has called us to be. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Would you spend some time this morning, if you are a Christian here this morning, spend some time thanking God for the good news of his gospel? That we could not earn it by our own good behavior, that we could not do enough to know the love of God. All we must do is put our faith in what Jesus has done for us. And so spend some time worshiping him this morning, praying to him and thanking him for the fact that his gospel really is good news. Thank God that you have been justified. Thank God that you have been loved. Thank God that you have been given a new existence in Christ. Spend some time just thanking him for that this morning. Now, there might be others here this morning, and you might say, man, that all sounds pretty good, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how messed up my life is. You don't know how many mistakes I've made. You don't know what kind of person I have been or am right now. It sounds good, but there's just no way. I have no idea what some of you have done. You have no idea what I've done. All I know is this. I know what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And his love is greater than any sin in existence. He can forgive anything. And the Bible says that if you would put your faith in Christ today, put your faith in what Jesus has done, you are justified. You are declared righteous. You are made right with God. You are part of God's people. You are loved by him eternally. You are here this morning and have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, do it now. Pray to him right now and say, Jesus, I put my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. And I trust in what you've done for me. And that's it, guys. Simple faith in Jesus Christ saves us. Put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. Want to make the decision to follow Jesus this morning, you do it right now and then let somebody know you've made that decision. Lean over and tell the person you came with, or come to the front in a moment and pray with me. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Come to the front and say, Neil, I have put my faith in Jesus. Let somebody know about that decision you've made to follow him. Now, I also want you to think about it. Is there someone you need to share that message with? Maybe a neighbor, a family member, a friend? Pray for that person right now. Pray that God would work in that person's heart and that you would have the boldness and the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ this morning. Guys, let's just remember we are so imperfect. No matter how good we try to be, outside, we are so imperfect. We mess up over and over again. But we are loved perfectly. Remember that today. You are loved by God so much. And put your faith in what He's done. The band is going to continue to play for just a few more moments. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you need to come to the front and let me know you made a decision to follow Jesus. Do that now. I do that, though, I just want to give just kind of one more, I guess, word of encouragement. There are many of you here who, you are Christians, you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you know you are saved, but, man, you haven't experienced freedom in a long time. You're beat up by guilt and shame and fear and doubt. It's a terrible place to be because, I mean, I've been there. I've struggled with legalism. I've struggled with guilt and shame and all of those things. And I just want to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you are loved. No matter how far you've fallen, no matter what mistakes you've made, you are loved. Experience that freedom in Christ. Live out His word. Know you are loved. Live in that grace today. Don't give up. Get up and keep walking, because that's what Jesus wants you to do. He'll walk with you. So if you're like me and at times just really struck with that guilt and fear and doubt and shame, live in that freedom this morning. You are loved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the good news of your gospel. We thank you so much that we can't earn your love. There is nothing we can do good enough to make you love us, because you already love us so much. Thank you for the great love that we have in Christ. Thank you so much that we can be crucified with Christ. We can be resurrected with Christ. We can experience the love of Christ, just as Paul did. And I pray, God, if there's somebody here who has not made that decision to follow Jesus, they would do it now. I pray if there's somebody here who is a Christian, but they're just struggling. They've fallen away. It's difficult, and they're just racked with guilt. And Father, I just pray that you would speak your freedom to them this morning. You would just overwhelm them with your grace today. Thank you so much that we are loved. Thank you so much that